It's TNR. TNR. 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Kutcher and Rich.
Okay, keep doing it.
Five to Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Bruins tickets coming up at 7:50 for Game 3. Tom Brady and Jim Gray, for some reason, were sitting down talking with each other.
Probably because there was money that was being spent in order for him to speak.
Okay.
This is the Milliken Institute Global Conference, which once again sounds like a bunch of wealthy people paying money to have famous people speak.
The Milliken Conference.
Yes.
That is the Goodyear tire of conferences. Top of the food chain.
Okay.
That's right, baby.
Dan says the Milken Institute. What is that?
It is a nonprofit, like economic think tank. And
okay.
I got that off of Wikipedia, so take it for what it is. It's just one of those things on how to develop money to get everybody rich. And
put it this way, I clicked on the link, and there are a bunch of very, very powerful people speaking at this thing. I mean, this is like one of those.
Milken was a junk bond guy, right?
Yes.
Yes.
I believe so,
yes.
Yeah. But this is, you take a look at the roster of people who spoke.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of money being thrown around at this conference, and the kind that can afford you to have Tom Brady come in and speak. We found out one time how much it cost to have Tom Brady come in and do like a question and answer. Remember when he did a speech at one of the colleges around here? Someone had told us how much it cost. Was it Salem State? If you could look that up, because I thought it was like gratuitous. And I think he needed a helicopter to bring him in and everything. So, I mean, the guy gets paid a ton of money to do these things. So he was speaking yesterday, and boy, did Twitter explode. Because there were some quotes that were put out there. There was some audio that was put out there. And now that this morning, I've watched a little bit of this, and Mike has watched the entire thing in the other room, and he mined it for some interesting nuggets that came out of it. And let's discuss a couple of this. First of all, here's Jim Gray, who from the Decision fame, the man with he's the definition of journalistic integrity, coming in hot at the beginning of this little press conference with Tom Brady.
So as we get started here, let me ask you a question: Are we going to be cliche ridden and mamby pamby bullshit, or are we going to light it
up? Oh, Jim Gray.
Jim Gray.
Coming out hot.
This is
Jim Gray telling you that this ain't your mom's conference.
This is namby pamby.
He pretty follows Nandy Pamby with the little BS.
Hang on, Jim Gray.
He's like, hello? Is this going to be some namby pamby BS? Or is this going to be straight talking?
Hello, Milliken Institute Global Conference. I heard you like to party.
Oh, Jim.
As we get started here, let me ask you a question. Are we going to be cliche ridden and mamby pamby bullshit? Or are we going to light it up?
Are we going to light it up? Come on!
Are we going to light it up?
Get your lighters out!
Who is this? Is it?
Hey, you fired up?
Yeah, you're lighting it up with Jim Irsay.
Hey, Quentin, what's up, man?
That's going to make me laugh forever.
Why is that even taped? Because they wanted to do like the Patriots did. You record
the Indianapolis
phone calls.
Colts are like, all right, this is what happens in the war room.
All right.
All they keep telling me and all they've told me is how damn good you are.
Jim Gray is the worst.
He is the worst. The worst. Like, he is I'll do anything for cash. I bet if you gave him like $1,000, he'd roll around in dog food while you just like threw excrement at him. He would do that.
Mm-hmm. But,
no integrity.
Think of that.
Well, because he will do anything. The guy will do anything for cash.
Yes. Someone made a mistake and you stepped in it.
Right.
Right. And they'll take that shoe.
All right. DA, what are you doing here? I know you love feet. And
someone mentioned stepping in extra.
Right. No, DA, I don't know if you're into that.
Well, yes.
It's a little strange. You know what he's into?
Are we going to be cliche ridden and mamby pamby bullshit, or are we going to light it up?
It's the best.
So, as we get started here, let me ask you a question. Are we going to be cliche ridden and mamby pamby bullshit, or are we going to light it up?
You're used to doing boxers all the time. They can light them up.
I am.
I know.
And I'm used to doing football players, too.
I know.
We have a show on Westwood One, and Hope y'all can listen. This will be our 10th.
Well, he ran out of steam quick.
Yeah, that's right. He was like, I'm going to start Bad Boys. Like,
all right, I guess.
It took him 21 seconds to run out of steam.
I'm still your slave, Tom.
He was going to come in hot, and then he just ran out of steam.
I'll do whatever you tell me. All right.
I mean, he's impressing the junk bond guy.
So he does ask about, is this the second clip? Okay.
We're still
rolling with the first one. Let's go.
Hope y'all can listen. This will be our 10th season. We'd like to thank Macy's and Landry's, Morton's and Mastro's, Tillman Fertitta, who I think is out here today, our great sponsor. But I think we're going to light them up today.
Yeah. You know, I think keeping it real and being authentic is the best way. So hopefully you guys enjoy it.
We got to lighten it up and a keeping it real. In the same segment.
He just went from going, we're going to light it up, into just naming sponsors and going to sleep.
I guess that's lighting it up.
Yeah, that's lighting it up, all right.
So they go on and they do ask, he does ask a couple questions that were, I guess, needed to be asked. The first one is about Malcolm Butler and what Tom Brady thought about Malcolm Butler not being used in the Super Bowl.
Well, I can't wait to hear him light it up.
Let's go back to the Super Bowl. Do you know why Malcolm Butler didn't play?
It's what all of you want to know. You can moan and groan all you want. They want to know the answer to that.
Yeah, I'm telling it like it is.
You can
moan. They're moaning. Oh, Jim, you went there? Shut up. Now he's pissing me off. You can groan all you want like he's Lenny Bruce.
I say what you're thinking. I'm the bad boy.
Yeah, everyone's groaning. They can't believe you asked such a tough question. A question that's been asked to literally every Patriot. These are groans? Oh. I hear you groaning, but I mean,
it's not namby-pamby.
I'm a truth teller. I'm a voice of a generation. I can't, you know, thank you to Morton's.
Well, I don't make, I don't make the decisions.
Namby-pamby.
He loves that term.
And I'm sure Brady really unleashes.
I don't make the decisions.
Mamby-pamby.
I'm telling you the truth. You know, I wish you would have played, but, the coach decided not to play him, and, we still had a chance to win. How do I look at that?
Do you know why he didn't play, though? Seems to be a major mystery here.
I haven't gone to discuss those things. Do you know why he didn't play? You like to tell me?
I don't have access that you do.
Yeah, well, I don't ask, so...
Do you believe that the fans deserve an explanation? The guy played 98% of the plays during the season, and then all of a sudden he's standing there crying during the national anthem. He doesn't play.
Yeah.
Do you believe the people who pay for the game, who've watched the game, who've invested their time and money, should have an explanation?
To the fans?
Correct.
Well, I don't know. That's probably a better question for the guy who owns our team. I think that for
maybe he's here today.
Yeah. I love that particular player, Malcolm. I have a great relationship and history with him. And, he's moved on to his life. He's on a different team. And
you gave him a truck, didn't you?
I did.
When he was the MVP against the Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah, Malcolm was a young player, and he made the play, one of the greatest plays in the history of any Super Bowl. I'm like, Malcolm, you can have my truck, whatever you want for the rest of your life. You're good. I said, you got me a ring, baby. I don't care what you did. Whatever you want. I got you for your whole life. So he knows that, too.
We can wrap this portion up. But you said you would have liked to have seen him play.
Yeah, I did.
Obviously, obviously, Bill Belichick's not trying to lose the Super Bowl.
No,
he wants to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
It just seems so mystifying.
Yeah.
He obviously, to the players, too.
I didn't know. Malcolm kept coming over to me during the game. He's like, come on, TB, let's go, And I kept going, what defense are we in where Malcolm's not on the field? Is it short yard goal line? And then after the game, I found out. So I just didn't know. And I asked Malcolm, and Malcolm said, I don't know, coach has just decided something different. So.
Yeah, I'm sure that's exactly how it went down.
Yeah, because, this is one of those situations where everyone is really doing a bang-up job, not spilling the beans.
Why?
Because someone has to know. It can't just be Bill Belichick is the only guy who knows the reason.
I just went up to him, and he said, why aren't you playing? He goes, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure.
I don't know. It's weird.
Well, you know what, though? I could see him saying that, because if he did do something that he got scolded for, why would he want to tell everyone that? Well, it's because
he's gonna tell his
teammates. In a fight.
No, he's going to tell his
teammates. See, I think it's more people like the guys on the defense, like Devin McCourty, know why.
No, Brady knows why he didn't play. Brady's the most important person in this franchise.
No, I think he knows, but I don't doubt that Malcolm Butler's like, I don't know why I'm not playing. This is just what the coach says.
Yeah, but the way he put it is not, I mean, that's not the way human beings act. I mean, he's going to be out of his mind pissed.
It's okay. So I don't know what was a part of that decision making, but, you know, I know we were trying to win the game. I don't think we were trying to do anything but win, and it's unfortunate we lost, but give the Eagles a great deal of credit. They deserved it, and we'll be back next year trying to kick their butt.
Okay.
Yeah, well, that's very exciting.
Well, that's good. Okay, so the thing that's getting a lot of controversy is, people saw a clip last night, going around the internet about being asked whether he feels he's appreciated by Bill Belichick. And the clip that was played and the clip that was isolated and tweeted out yesterday got a lot of people upset. However, we have the entire answer in its context. And it's a whole hell of a lot different than what people were talking about
yesterday.
So it's
just as boring as everything else he says?
Well, I will tell you this much. The headline does not match the context of the question. Right. So there's going to be a lot of people who are going to be outraged and shaking their fist this morning. And then once you hear everything together, you might think something completely different.
In your car at 98.5. On your phone, on the new Sports Hub app. And on your computer. 98.5thesportshub.com. Toucher and Rich. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
So, as we get started here, let me ask you a question. Are we going to be cliche-ridden and mamby-pamby bullshit, or are we going to light it up?
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. That is Jim Gray kicking things off badass style.
Hey, you fired up?
Yes, we are.
He's really going to get down to interviewing Tom Brady like a hardcore man of the people. But, Rich, there was a clip that went around where Tom Brady was asked about if he was enjoying himself.
Yeah, okay. So let's go to clip four. Yeah, if you're for, let's go and jump to it. Because this morning, if you wake up, you will see in many places, including, I'm just looking right now, the New York Daily News, CBSSports.com, NBCSports.com, and you'll probably see it here in the local papers as well. And the headlines of almost all of them are Tom Brady on whether he feels appreciated by the Patriots. I plead the fifth. New York Daily News. Tom Brady on feeling appreciated by the Patriots. I plead the fifth. Everyone's using that as the quote. And people are saying that there is trouble, and this whole thing with it between him and Belichick is real, and who knows how this is going to end. And then you take a listen to what was actually said. And a matter of fact, the clip that was tweeted out late last night didn't really have much more than the I plead the fifth quote and one or two lines after that. But let's listen to how the question actually went down at the press conference in full.
Hopefully there was no mamby-pamby BS.
I don't think there was any mamby-pamby stuff. Jim Gray, he does not hold back. He says what we're thinking. He's the bad boy of being paid to do anything you tell him to do.
Three rails before he went on. Just was like, all right, let's do this, Tom. Took some Special K and just went out there and went, here we go. And then he said mamby-pamby for the first time in human history in the last 20 years.
There's going to have peaks and valleys.
Yeah.
And so when Giselle says feel appreciated, this brings to mind Coach Belichick and Mr. Kraft. Do you feel appreciated by them, and do they have the appropriate gratitude for what you have achieved?
I plead the fifth. Look, that is a tough question. Yeah, I mean,
your wife seems to indicate.
Yeah, I think everybody in general wants to be appreciated more at work, you know, in their professional life. But there's a lot of people that are appreciate me more than, you know, way more than I ever thought, you know, was possible as part of my life. So,
take it from them?
Well, I think you have different influences in your life. And I think the people that I work with, they're trying to get the best out of me. So they're trying to treat me in a way that they feel is going to get the best out of me. And, you know, I've got to get the best out of myself. I think what I'm learning as you get older is it comes from within. the joy, the happiness, those things come from inside. And, you know, to seek that from others, to seek that from outside influences, people you work with, people that cheer against you or cheer with you, or, you know, I feel like it comes from within for me. So I'm trying to build up what's within me so that I can be the best for me, so that I can be the best for other people.
We've gotten past mamby-pamby.
That's the third time.
What the hell is his deal with mamby-pamby?
That's the third time he has said
that.
And
why is he patting himself on the back about that stupid answer?
I know.
Oh, God, I hate Jim Gray.
Yeah, he is the worst. He really is the worst.
We've gotten past mamby-pamby, and then what, does he kick his legs up on the effing dais? Can he just, like, lights a pipe? Well, I think it's safe to say we've gotten past the mamby-pamby. Really? Just because of that stupid-ass answer that said nothing?
No. I mean, it said nothing, but it didn't say that he is not getting along with Bill Belichick or that he doesn't feel appreciated. He goes, you know,
It was self-help shenanigans.
Well exactly.
It's been turned into that
there is this horrible rift now.
I don't care what other people said. I'm pissed off at Jim Gray for saying that we've got past the mamby-pamby. He just gave you some psychobabble. As I get older, I have to learn how to appreciate the happiness comes from within. All right. Well, did you pick up chicken soup for the soul?
Well, I think we've gone past mamby-pamby.
Are we going to be cliche-ridden and mamby-pamby bullshit? Or are we going to light it up?
And by the way, he can hits the best. I mean, he's
and then
like,
the flame pots go boom.
That's right. He walks in like a wrestler.
Listen to this self-satisfied a-hole. Let me.
You know, I feel like it comes from within for me. So I'm trying to build up what's within me so that I can be the best for me, so that I can be the best for other people.
Okay, so he's just said just nothing. He's just said nothing. Nothing at all.
We've gotten past mamby-pamby. You're keeping it real.
You're keeping
it real.
Jesus, Jim Gray. You're keeping it. We've got it. After that answer. Oh, really? You really find happiness from within and not from what others say? Oh, my God. I can't believe. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for me for dragging that out of Tom Brady.
I'm a regular Tim Russert.
The idea that I somehow got Tom Brady to say some cliched horse crap about where happiness comes from. We're keeping it real. That's the question he patted himself on the back for. Maybe he realizes that this all sucks and that he's like trying to sell the audience that he's not failing completely at this.
He was asked a little bit more about Belichick, and we'll have the audio in a while, but he said that, quote, "We've had a great relationship, a very respectful relationship for a long time." He said he has a management style with players, and he would say, look, I'm not the easiest coach to play for, and I agree, he's not the easiest coach to play for, but he's the best for me. I think what he's proven is that whatever talent he has, he maximizes his talent. What more could you ask for in a coach than that? That's what I wanted as a player. He's been an incredible coach. He's been an incredible mentor to me. He's taught me so much football. To be a 22-year-old kid and come and learn from him, I wouldn't be sitting here without his coaching. I wouldn't have the success without how incredibly talented he was, along with a lot of other coaches, a lot of other players, and a lot of other people in the organization, because
we've
it takes
past mamby-pamby.
At that point, you did. But I mean, that's awesome. So now everybody who this morning is writing these articles about how there is this disdain that Tom Brady apparently has for Bill Belichick. What they're going to do is they're going to take that quote, they're going to run with it, and they're not going to hear the rest of it, which is absurd, because it fits their narrative.
Who cares what they write?
We've gotten past mamby-pamby. You're keeping it real.
The real thing is that Jim Gray should do nothing in the public eye. He should live under a bridge.
He's the worst.
He's driving me insane. I don't care. Tom Brady, you knew Tom Brady was going to say nothing. He said nothing. And then Jim Gray pats himself on the back. Well, I don't know, Jim. We're just taking it one game at a time, you know. I look at every offseason and try to improve and be my best. Woof. I'm going to give everyone a second to catch their breath. I really hit it out of the park. Mamby-pamby, mamby-pamby. After that answer, you stupid bastard, that's what you came up with? That's the answer?
Yeah.
That's the answer that you wanted to pat yourself on the back?
Yeah.
It was nothing.
He said nothing. He made a joke about pleading the fifth, and then he went into one of his psychobabble horse crap. Do you really? He did basically an Elmo song. Happiness comes from feeling good about yourself.
Is that an Elmo song? How's the rest of that song go?
I just wonder if Jim Grayling pops out of a trash can and goes...
Yeah, because someone paid him to.
On Sesame Street,
he'll
just
do anything
goes,
you pay him to do.
Just said, Elmo, just keeping Snuffleupagus is keeping it real. Unless Snuffleupagus is dead. Is that the one they killed off?
Snuffleupagus?
No.
You can't kill a Muppet.
No, they did. They killed off one of the characters.
Like, was there like a shooting or
they died. One of the characters
died. A sketchy block they live on.
That's right. Well,
yeah, it was teaching kids about death. I'm not making it up.
I was kind of suspicious. I mean, they're in like an inner city there, and there's no crime whatsoever.
That's a good point.
No one locks their doors.
I'm not lying. They killed to teach about death. They killed off one of the characters.
I don't remember that.
Of course you don't remember that. You're an adult.
Yeah.
I don't remember it. Oh. I remember reading about it.
Was it one of the real people who died in real life? Because I doubt they'd kill a Muppet.
Maybe it was the
mean.
Right? It's like,
maybe
you know,
it was the guy that owned Mr. Hooper?
Oh, yeah, Mr. Hooper.
That's fair enough.
It wasn't like, you know...
No, I thought they killed off
Grover.
A puppet.
like, that's right. Like Grover got like dysentery and died.
We have to go visit Grover in the hospital.
That's right.
How is he today? Grover didn't make it.
I don't know how that's any worse than Mr. Hooper.
He was scared by the monster at the end of the book.
Go Google. Who died?
I read that.
All right, John,
book. Relax.
Google.
Yeah,
who died.
It was Mr. Hooper. Mr. Hooper died. Yeah, he died.
All right, that was the only one.
I googled Sesame Street death. And the images are pretty funny if you click on Google Image. But Mr. Hooper's last appearance on Sesame Street was in 1983. Yes.
No. Since then, they've done it. I think they killed off a puppet.
Oh, Telly. They killed Telly. Because they said kids are too confused. There's already one red monster, and they want Elmo, so you might as well go die.
Okay.
Google who died on Sesame Street.
I just did Sesame Street death, and all I'm getting is Mr. Hooper. That's it.
Nah, it was before that. It was after that.
Okay, hang on. Here's a 2012 article. It's Farewell, Mr. Hooper.
Yeah, but it wasn't in 83 that he died.
Okay.
If it's 83, why?
Well, that's it. I'm just thinking of the many ways a Muppet can get killed. 1, 2, 3 diseases. Maybe the count got nailed. Somebody right. slipped something into Cookie Monster's cookies.
Okay. We have what was the deal with the sheriff guy?
Oh, he's just a badass.
All right, so we have more of this badass sheriff. He's no Jim Gray. But
Cookie Monster got diabetes, somebody said.
Cliche ridden and mamby pamby bullshit. Or are we going to light it up?
Jim Gray is the worst person on the planet. He just is the worst person on the planet. Are we going to light it up? Yeah, I think we've gotten past the mamby-pamby.
Hey, you fired up?
He's just, at least Ursa's high. You know?
There's an excuse.
Yeah, at least.
Hey, Quentin, what's up, man?
At least he's rich enough that he can do whatever he wants.
At least Ursa's just like sitting back with an opium, like a hookah full of opium and just sitting there laying back. What is the deal with Jim Gray and Tom Brady, by the way? By the way, Bruins tickets coming up at 7:50.
They do that thing together every
week. No, I know, but I just don't get together type of thing.
It's because they needed a guy to ask questions that weren't controversial, that they could dictate the terms of what was going to be said, and he'll do anything for cash. It's like, sure, I'll be that guy. I'll ask exactly the questions you want me to ask you. He's not a journalist. He's a guy who reads what you want him to read, and everyone's happy.
It's funny. He didn't used to be that way.
No, he was the guy who embarrassed himself with Pete Rose at the All-Star.
Well, how about the moment the decision came around, he sold his soul?
Yeah, like that was the turning point for me. Before then, he was considered a legitimate journalist.
Well, John, I got news for you.
We've gotten past mamby-pamby.
That's a good point.
You're keeping it real.
Mm-hmm. After just banality. Just, God, Jim Gray! He said nothing! And by the way, aren't all these people, like, rich? like crazy rich at this conference?
Yeah, right.
Like they're all, oh, wow, really? He just said nothing. He said nothing. Like you're over.
Oh, okay. Here we go.
Mike, go ahead. This is more important. Okay. Mike, go ahead.
Hey, Fred, I got to say that you are the man. Everyone should listen to you. These other guys are holding you back in your career.
That's right.
It's the truth. Elmo's uncle, Uncle Jack, died about 7 years ago.
Thank you.
And that this might be a stretch, but I believe Uncle Jack died and was reincarnated as Uncle Jack in Always Sunny.
Okay.
It's a stretch.
All right. Okay. That is a stretch. I don't know. My kids never watched Sesame Street. I wanted them to because I wanted to see the death one, but it never came about.
We've gotten past Mamby Pamby. This is you're keeping it real.
I want that clip, and I want it. I want to play it every day when I want to get into murderous rage.
Just keeping it real,
you know. And I found out as I get older that happiness comes from within, and that you know it's not about outside people. Mm-hmm. That might be is that why I thought of Sesame Street? Because that might be something that they said on Sesame Street.
Well, we've gotten past that. We're keeping it real.
Are you now, Jim? Are you keeping it real? Because it seems to me like you're just getting stupid-ass answers. Big dummy. Selling me a boatload of crap. Why the hell's Tom Brady even there?
Because he's getting paid.
I know why he wants to be there.
Yeah.
I have no idea why he's there.
Huh? You know why he's there?
Like, why do they want him there?
Oh, because he's a big name. Because he's like, hey, it's Tom Brady.
So I'm going to go into a room and watch Jim Gray interview Tom Brady for a half an hour?
Hell yeah.
Hell no.
I would. Of course you would. If you're in a conference and Tom Brady's going to be there?
I would walk past that room. I'm telling you. Meeting Tom Brady would be weird. And I would like to do that because he's around, but he's like kind of not.
Yeah.
Like, he lives like probably about 2 miles from me, but he's might as well live on the moon.
Yeah, but he beams everywhere.
Yeah, exactly. like Tom Brady's like a weird kind of celebrity because he lives here, but like no one ever sees him. Like he kind of just I know people who like play football with his kid, and it's like no one ever like he just doesn't exist. So if I had an opportunity to meet Tom Brady, it'd be one of those things that was weird. Like you ever meet someone like famous? And it's, like, surreal.
I saw Giselle a couple times. When they used to live over down near where I do, I used to see them. They put the same playground my
but
kids were.
Giselle's
but
not.
I never saw him.
Giselle's not surreal. Giselle
is surreal because she's so tiny. Like, she's tiny.
Yeah, I know. I have seen Giselle, too. But she's not. We're constantly talking about Tom Brady. He's constantly.
It's like when I met Tom Cruise. Tom Cruise looks like
exactly.
He stepped right off the movie screen. You're like,
that's
oh
exactly
my God.
What it is. So if I had an opportunity to meet Tom Brady, just because it would be so weird, that would be interesting. But if they had a room, like say there was one room that they had food, and then there was another room where Tom Brady was talking with Jim Gray, I'd get myself a sandwich.
Well, that's. I will say, however, because because we work in the industry, we've been around Tom Brady and things like that before. We've seen all these press conferences.
I've never seen him in person.
Sure you have. You were at a media night. You've seen him. Yeah, you have your media night. A bunch of media nights.
Oh, yeah.
You have seen him in person.
But you're always the one who's getting the audio
who's talking
him.
To him. Yeah. But you've been 10 feet from him before.
Yeah, probably. Well, it was very memorable, obviously.
Toucher.
Is this what you want?
And Rich.
Are you happy now?
Toucher and Rich.
Ah, sick.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Car number 10 right now to the Pride Motor Group contest line. 617-931-0985. We'll score a pair of tickets to experience game 3 of the second round of the NHL playoffs as the Bruins take on the Tampa Bay Lightning tomorrow night at the TD Garden. Visit Ticketmaster.com to get your tickets. Last night, the Bruins did not play well. And
took 15 minutes for their first shot on goal.
Yeah, and the officiating was horrendous. And the main thing that's concerning me about the officiating, by the way, the Bruins didn't deserve to win that game. But the main thing that concerns me about the officiating is how often they're kicking guys out of the faceoff circle.
Bergeron especially.
Yeah.
And it's gotten to the point, I forget who made the point, it might have been Pierre Maguire, it's to the point now that Bergeron is losing faceoffs because he's so scared about getting tossed.
And it looks
that way.
And I don't understand what he, like, 90% of the time, I don't even understand what he did.
I wish someone could explain that to me. Like, somebody who's there at the ice and can figure out what exactly he's doing.
Well, we're having Jaffe on later, correct?
Yes. Yeah.
So maybe Jaffe has an answer.
Because I look and I can't tell what the hell he's doing 90% of the time.
It's weird.
So you got Marchand.
First time ever. Can you ever remember this happening to him in his entire Bruins career?
No. This month has been the only time I can look back and go, wow, that getting kicked out of the circle as many times as he has. How many times has he? I'd like to actually see that.
That can cost you a series because that can easily cost you.
Takes away a massive advantage.
It's because he's elite at faceoffs.
No, he might be the best in the NHL. So that's going on. There was the BS slashing call on Krug. There was the BS.
Oh, I'm sorry. The Krug one that was called and the Marchand one that was not.
And then there was the BS stick to the face call where the guy had hit himself in his own face.
Yeah, Victor Hedman. Yeah, when it wasn't, they called it on passing. And he got 4 minutes for that, too. And by the way, the linesman missed like a ton of icings. Like to where you could see like guys on the bench going, What the hell are we doing here?
Yeah.
On top of that, Pastrnak, he got hit square in the numbers on the boards in like the final minute of the third, which ended up causing the empty netter was immediately after that. It was bad call after bad call, and there was no consistency. That was the main thing.
If you're
going to call it soft, then call it soft throughout the entire game. But Jeremy Roenick, my fishing buddy, my ice fishing buddy.
That's right.
He was on NBC Sports yesterday, and even he called out what he thought was atrocious officiating.
You know, we hate to harp on the refs sometimes, but tonight they deserve to get harped on because the rinky-dink ticky-tack calls that they called in the first period, like this one right here, hits the pad, doesn't even hit the stick. He gets called for a penalty, no scoring chance. I mean, how can you call that a penalty early in the game in such a big playoff game? And then in the third period, you have a chance with the most dangerous player on the ice to score a goal to tie it, and the slash is right on the hands. Watch this. Right on the hands of the most dangerous player on the ice, Marchand, right there. And that's not a slash. That is the definition of the new slashing rule. Even Marchand looked at it. Then you have a cross-check by Girardi. How can none of these be called at the most crucial part of a hockey game in the playoffs?
Yeah, it was inexcusable. It was awful. And I know that Brad Marchand was actually asked about that. And here's what he had to say.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of a play that they called earlier in the game. You call that all year. Slash up around the hands. I mean, that's automatic penalty shot, let alone a penalty. So, tough one there. But, I mean, you know, we had some chances on the power play. Just have to capitalize.
Yeah, Marchand didn't quite cover himself in glory last night, too. That turnover of his ended up causing that Palat goal, and the one that was 3-1. So,
well, the Bruins, it was a small miracle that they were able to tie that game in the first period. And I thought, after that, that had to take the wind out of Tampa Bay sails because to dominate so thoroughly in a period and then with very little time left to get the equalizer, I thought that was going to hurt Tampa Bay, and it did not.
I thought after that four-minute kill, that was going to be the turn of momentum, yeah. And obviously that did not happen.
No, they did. The Bruins, regardless of calls, and the calls did cost them, but regardless of the calls, did not deserve to win that game. And you can say Rask let in a couple soft goals, but I would counter with, he saved their asses several times during that game, so it all equals out at the end.
The one thing we did get is the chippiness that you look forward to in a hockey playoff series. I mean, these two teams are really going at it.
Oh, that Callahan hit on McQuaid.
It's fantastic.
That wasn't
the only one either. I mean, Tampa Bay really played a physical game last night, and you love that. If you're a hockey fan, even if your team loses, I mean, it's 1-1. You're coming back to the Garden. The two teams really were physical with each other in game two. I mean, these are the kinds of games that you want to tune in and watch.
You don't see McQuaid get leveled like that.
No.
Like, that was
awesome. He went right to the room afterwards, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was a big hit.
Yeah, there was a chippiness, but at the end, Bruins home ice advantage, and they could have been blown out last night. And that just didn't happen.
And if you ever wanted to know what Dave Mischkin, the play-by-play guy for...
Him and Jim Gray.
For the Tampa Bay Lightning sound like when an empty netter is scored, he's very restrained.
He met a Krug again, left circle. Centers it. It gets taken away by Point. Point out to center ice. Point to the red line. Shoots it toward the open end. Score! 4 points for Braden Point! Wow. And it's 4-2 Lightning with 25.2 seconds left.
Esposito's the hidden gem on that clip.
He was asleep. Wow. I'm convinced he was asleep.
You know what he has to, in fairness to Esposito, what's he going to do?
No.
You got Spazzy McSpazzenstein next to you. What is he going to start screaming too?
He's not Spazzy. I think he does an excellent job. This is one of the other
popped
goals
it up,
here.
But then a drop feed came back to Point in the offensive zone. Left circle. Pallad. Score! Pallad! The Bruins put it back.
I mean, listen to Esposito.
But really, Esposito's funny because he swears and stuff. But really, what's he going to do?
I bet he has like those giant the headphones that they wear when you're working on the tarmac when the cars are coming by.
Sure.
I think he's got those because the guy screams so loud so he can't even hear himself mumble.
Like, Esposito's probably like, no one cares this much. Like, stop. It's like it's like when someone comes in like in a comedy thing and chews up all the scenery. Like, look at me. Dave, go ahead.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Hey.
So I just want to talk about Tuukka for a second. The reason that we were in that game after that first period was completely because of him. He saved our ass in that first period. But then come the Tyler Johnson goal, and he's making a move like he's a batter about to get hit by a pitch.
That was a bad goal. That was a bad goal.
Yeah.
It was like he was afraid to get hit, and he was just like cowering away from the puck when his job is literally to use his body as a shield.
That was a bad goal that he let in, no question.
I don't know what his problem is when he can be so hot at one point in a single game and so cold another.
Well, let's say he saved them. There's two questions. Well, one, the one where he cowered was, I don't know what the hell was going on. That's completely on him. And say another goal was on him. I mean, how many shots did they put? I mean, they had
31-20 was the final count.
Yeah, so they had a tremendous amount of opportunities and a tremendous. He would go through stretches where he was excellent. So I mean, if you let in a bad goal, but then you give me, you know, 8-9 saves that you know most goaltenders would let in, I'm gonna.
So it comes out even.
Yeah, that's what
comes out even. Yeah.